Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. How's everybody doing this morning? Are y'all ready to go all in? Like you did on the pickleball course this morning? You went all in, didn't you, my brother? That's awesome. Well, that's what we're here to do. We're here to go all in for the Lord. We are going to look at a three-part series the next three Sundays where we look at going all in and what that means. And, you know, when you think about church, think about the Christian life, I think it's helpful to understand that the Christian life is a team sport. It's a team sport. And when you think about team sports, there's a lot of helpful analogies there. So think about what we're looking at today. When you think about professional athletes and you see this NFL super stud just holding out for more money and they're in this big battle about whether they're going to find an agreement and come to contract. And then as that lingers on, you start hearing all the ESPN commentators saying, you know, I hope they wrap this up or he's, you know, we're going to, where it starts lagging on even more, and they're like, you know, I wonder if he's going to be worth anything, if he's going to be up to speed when he gets back. You know what I'm talking about? But, you know, you think about it. Why do they say that? I mean, the guy still has a weight room. He's got all the money in the world to have all the workout facilities he needs. He can still be pumping iron and going to the track and working out. Well, there's something missing when you can't be with the team. You just can't get to the... You can't get up to speed on your own. You have to have the team. Every member on the team is valuable. Even the people who aren't starting coaches are like, we've got to have you. You make us better. There's something about competition on the team that makes everyone better. You can't just take the year off, work out on your own, and show up and be at the same level. It just doesn't happen. There is a value that is hard to put your fingers on. It's hard to explain why, but there is value to being with the team. It's a team sport. And that's a lot what we need to understand. There's a value to coming here today, as all of you have done, almost said as so many of you have done. You've all done that because you're here. But as you are here, there is something valuable taking place in your hearts, in your minds, in your lives, just by being here that you can't get when you're off doing something else. And that's what we're looking at today. When I think of this phrase, all in, I'm going to look at two facets of it. One, the idea of all in as in all, everyone participating. We're going to look at that idea. But then we're going to look at also this idea of all in as in giving it all you got. As a soccer coach for many years, I coached my girls' soccer all their lives. And I'll tell you, that was what I wanted from my players. I wanted all the players to come to all the practices. And I wanted them, when they got there, not to just show up, but to give it their best, because that's what we all needed. Father God, I ask for your help this morning. I pray that there are many people who tend, with a sensitive conscience, tend to feel guilty. And Lord, I pray you'll protect from that this morning. That's not what you motivate. You don't motivate by guilt. Lord, and I don't want to do that. But I pray, Lord, that we will see the incredible value of gathering together with brothers and sisters in Christ, that it will become something that we value enough to make happen. And not only when we come, but to come and give our best. Because we need it, the body of Christ needs it, and you deserve it. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, last week we concluded the book of Samuel with a great reminder. I'm going to test you to see if you remember anything from you slept this week. If you're like me, that makes it challenging. People talk about my sermons sometimes. I'm like, did I say that? I don't even remember that one. But the place of mercy becomes the place of... Okay, three of you. Thank you very much. Let's try that again. The place of mercy becomes the place of worship. And that was so fundamentally important to what you see in the story of your Bible, that as we see God's plan of restoration and redemption, what is he doing? He's not just going and showing mercy to people and then leaving them alone to go live their private, independent little Christian lives of, if I just have my quiet time, I'm good. Now, that is wonderful. But that misses out a huge aspect of what God's word says that God is doing. God is creating a holy people. Like, every part of that phrase is so important. The word holy simply means set apart. He's creating a holy people, as in plural pronoun, a group of people who are holy in the sense that they are set apart for God. And the way he's doing that is by going and finding them and showing them mercy. The plague of death was coming. This was last week's text that we saw. And God mercifully stopped the plague. In our lives, we understand that God shows mercy in Christ. He forgives us of our sin. And we call you, implore you each week to put your faith in Christ. Let today be the day you experience the mercies of Christ. And then upon participating in Christ, you're a new creature. You have a new identity, a new purpose, a new people. Everything changes. It's not just get saved and go live your private life. It's be incorporated into a people of God, a people who have all shared that common experience of experiencing the mercies of God through faith in Christ and being folded in, engrafted in, adopted in, all the biblical words, into a people. Think about all the analogies in your Bible for this. It's a people. It's a building. Christ is the foundation. It's a royal priesthood. It's a chosen race. It's a nation. It's never said, hey, get saved and be that one. That's not a concept in the scriptures. God is building a people who have experienced the mercies of God through faith in Christ, and that becomes the place of worship. They belong to a people, and their purpose is to glorify their Savior as a people. That's why we gather. That's why we're here today. 1 Peter, I'm going to just pull a couple of texts together and help us to see this corporate body people concept. By the way, 1 Peter is our next book study. If you want to start reading ahead, we'll be reading 1 Peter. We'll be studying 1 Peter for the rest of this year, and we'll pick up 2 Peter beginning in January. So 1 Peter, get us to Christmas after these three all-in messages. So in Christ, all of us become a part of his people. Listen to what Peter says that God is doing in 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. He says to believers, you are a chosen individual. You are a royal priest. You are a holy person. Nobody's freaking out. Did y'all change the words up there? Because that's not what my Bible says. That's not what he says. He uses collective corporate pronouns. You are a chosen race. You are royal priesthood, a body of priests. You're a holy, set apart nation, a people. That's who you are now. You are a people for his own possession. He purchased you, he adopted you, he redeemed you, he owns you. You are a people. We are a people for his own possession with a purpose that you collectively may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do you see that picture? Out of the darkness, the pagan nations, listening to mediums and fortune tellers and seeking after your own desires of your own heart and worshiping whatever you want to worship and seeking whatever wisdom you want to seek. He said, I called you out of that to the one true God, to know his word, his will, his purposes, to live. That is what he's done. He's called you out of this scattered people to a one body, a people. You were not a people. You were just this loose collection of individuals out there running rampant. But now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, that's when you weren't a people. But now you have received mercy. There's one place of mercy, Jesus. And when you come to that, you come to one place, Jesus. And so that's our what unites us. That's our common bond. It's our fellowship of participation in the sufferings of Christ. That's what the church is. The word church in Greek is ekklesia. Ek means out, called out ones. We were called out of the pagan nations and called out of that to the marvelous light to experience the mercies of God through faith in Christ, to be a part of a people. And so the Christ that's in me is united by the Christ that's in you. And that's a bond that transcends all other aspects of commonalities. You once were not a people. You think about the Tower of Babel. What is that in the story of your scriptures? You see, they tried to build a name to themselves. And God said no. And he scattered them, the pagan nations, all across the globe, filled the earth with not his glory, but with sinful people. And then he graciously said, now I'm going to be merciful. And I'm going to give you one place where a tower will be built to my name. And that will draw the nations, people out of the nations to myself. And the very essence of the body will be a people who've experienced mercy. In Ephesians, we see that Paul says more about this idea. Paul says that this has been God's plan for all the ages. In Ephesians 3, verses 9, he says that he preached the gospel. Paul says, I preached the gospel to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. I preached the gospel to bring to light this plan of God that was a mystery hidden for ages so that through the church, through us right here, right now, the manifold, the variegated, the multifaceted, multicolored, the complex, beautiful display of the wisdom of God might now be made known, not just to people in this community, but to the rulers and authorities in heaven. What? God is displaying aspects of his character and his glory to heavenly beings because you got out of bed, changed clothes, and came here this morning. That's crazy. He is unveiling the multifaceted like a diamond, like there's just every little angle, there's a new glory that shows of the wisdom of God in bringing all of us together, different races, different economic classes, different life experiences, different personalities, different backgrounds, different geographic locations. And he takes us and he knits us together and he places us in a room like a grenade, pulls the pin and walks away. It says, what's this? Isn't that what you feel like sometimes? Like, this is a good idea? Take a bunch of wretched sinners and put them in a room together and say, love each other. But he does, and he says, look at all the different grace that you see when all that comes together. That can't happen at home. I want to especially talk to those who are watching at home. I'm thankful that you're watching at home. I do not want you to feel guilt. I want you to see the value, and I understand there's a multi-variegated reasons that you might need to be home today, and that's okay. But I want to exalt the glory of being here as much as possible. He says, this has been the plan since the beginning of time, since before that, for the ages. This has been God's plan to make you who once were not a people by his mercies. Anyone watch Netflix? That's kind of a loaded question, right? You're like, can I say that? Yes, I watch Netflix. Anyone else watch Netflix? Okay. Anyone seen All Alone? Anyone seen the series Alone? No? Okay, it's a few of you. It's a good series. They bleep out bad words.
and they have their clothes on.
They're out on islands, and they are clothed. They're not naked and afraid. That's a different series. This is, they're clothed, 10 people. They're put on different places of the planet. I don't know. Y'all are probably like, this is season 8, Tracy. You're late to the game. Okay, I got it. For some reason, I found season 8. And they put them all over, and they say, the last person standing gets $500,000. And so it's kind of like the old story, how do you survive a bear attack? Just make sure you outrun the guy next to you. That's what's going on here. They're like, I don't know how long I'll last, but I just got to outlast 9 people, and I'm going to have 500 grand. And these guys and gals are all like trained survivalists. Like, they are impressive. I mean, they make cabins out of, I mean, they come out with just a handful of items, and they make impressive cabins, and they fish. They've got, I mean, they're just survivalists. It is cool. But each day, they start to struggle to find food, and they start to struggle to get enough calories, and so they start to have to watch their efforts. And so it becomes this battle of everything I do burns calories, and if I do this, is it worth the calorie burn because I'm just slowly fading? So one aspect of coming to church and gathering with the people is getting the calories you need. You don't really fully realize that you're getting calories. It just feels like you're just breathing oxygen. You're just breathing in grace when you come in here. And there's a calorie intake of grace that you need, that if you stop coming and stop getting it, you don't fully realize it, and you're out there burning calories. And you don't realize it, but you start a slow fade that starts to sap your energy, that then you get it yourself in a bind. But also something I've seen in this theologically deep, rich Netflix series that I'm watching to justify hours of watching is these guys are very gifted at, I mean, I don't want to, spoiler alert, I won't do that, but they're really gifted at gathering food and doing all these things. And you know what gets them? The title. Alone. That's what gets them. I mean, these dudes and gals could survive for ages out there if it just wasn't alone. Their mind starts to change. Their thoughts about things start to change. I mean, one dude was just sitting there, and you're watching him. You're going, this dude's going to win it all. And the next thing, he's calling on a sat phone, I'm tapping out officially. And they're like, what happened? He's like, I just can't take being alone. There's a reason that in prison they call it solitary confinement, and they do that for the hardened criminals. It's not a blessing. Now, I want to be careful here. I've walked many, many years with a lot of people in all walks of life, and I get it. Sometimes it is harder to come here than to be alone. Why do we have to have a series every year that's like, let's go all in, people? Why is it? Because there's a 1,000 river stream flowing against us coming together in life. We get tired. We get so busy. There's just something glorious about we're not going to church this Sunday. We're going to stay home, stay in our PJs, and make waffles to the glory of God. Right? I've heard it. But you didn't get your calorie intake that morning. And you do that, and you don't realize your body takes a toll on your body. Now, I'm not legalistic. I'm not going to make you feel guilty on purpose. I want you to see the value, the wisdom, the blessing, the glory of being here. God has created you. He saved you. He remade you. He made you a part of the people with a purpose, and only that will sustain you. Nothing else will. I've confessed to y'all my idol. I love the lake with my family. I love going out there, and I confessed my idol for years was I just will be happy if I get a camp. And God graciously gave me the camp. It's a pig with lipstick on it. But it's my pig and my wife's lipstick, so I love it. And so every weekend we're out there. And this is my job, and you hold me accountable because you know if I don't show up. There's something in me that says, oh, if I could just stay one more night. I can't imagine how hard it is for you because you're not paid to stand up here. I know it's tempting. And I know this sounds silly, but this is, let's be real, we're a family, we're a people. I know what goes on up here and in here. There's mornings where you're like, I don't like what I have to wear. I don't like what I look like. I don't like the thing that's going on between me and that person. I don't feel like seeing anybody. I don't feel like smiling. Matter of fact, I don't feel like getting out of bed at all. The last thing you want to do sometimes is to come here. And I'm telling you, this is what you need the most. But I feel you. I know. We're humans. We're sinful. We're fallen. We struggle. We have relational conflict and dynamics. We have pain. We have sorrow. We compare to others. And there's just, and we're busy and we're tired. And there's just 1,000 reasons not to come here. But I want to tell you, there is no better place than right here with God's people focused on Christ. That is the calorie intake, the only way you're going to survive and thrive the rest of your life. I don't care, and I have walked with some people to their deathbed, literally, where it was a battle every week. But they kept coming and they persevered until they were at the literal feet of Jesus. And that's what I want for you. Do not give up. We're coming off the heels of COVID and we have fatigue and there's just 1,000 reasons that it was right and good to stay home for a season. And if that's still where you are, then praise the Lord. But if it's gotten to a place where it's like, you know what? I've just gotten out of the habit and I've gotten in a bad. Let me tell you, I've seen what happens when you stop coming here. It doesn't end well. Some change takes place. Something happens in here and in here. So thank you for being here this morning. For your own good, for my good, and for the good of the glory of God. We need each other to spur each other on. Listen to Hebrews 10, 19, and 25. Why do we have to have a series every year? Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter into the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened up for us, through the curtain that is through his flesh, the death of Christ on the cross has made a way for us to come in here and be in the presence of a holy God. And since we have a great priest, Jesus Christ, over the house of God, let us, plural, let us all do what? Go have a quiet time by ourselves in our bedroom? Do that. But what does he say? Why did Jesus make a way? He made a way for each one of us to come together to draw near, both to him and to each other, with true hearts in full assurance of faith. This is what happens when you come together in Christ together, full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. That's what Christ does for us. Our bodies are washed pure with water. Let us all hold fast together with the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. But let us all consider how to stir up one another. How to stir up one another to love and good works that he has prepared in advance for us to do. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some of us.
but instead encouraging one another. Oh, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You see what he's saying? You see the context of this teaching, that you have been saved so that you may draw near. There's one Christ. There's many people. When each one of us individually draw near to Christ, we are drawn near to each other. So that we may encourage each other, strengthen our assurance of faith, stir each other on to serve another day, to put that way behind you, to start afresh, to let's go, let's do this again. This is what God says reveals his multifaceted wisdom of the ages, is when each one of us comes together for those purposes. And we see in the scriptures gathering together like this is like sports analogy, it's practice. In the Revelation, we hear this is a practice for what we're going to do the rest of eternity. Revelation 21:3, and I heard a loud voice. This is describing the end picture. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. The eternal state that it lasts forever and ever is not floating on cloud, an individual cloud playing an individual harp. The eternal state is a new heavens and a new earth, a lot like this one, just without the effects of sin, where God's people exist as a people, and God is in their midst, and we are worshiping him, serving one another. It's not something radically different. It's just a radically different experience of this. So if you don't like this, we got a problem. I want to encourage all believers, especially covenant members, to recommit to making gathering with the people of God a priority. I need you. You change who I am by being here, by little encounters. You've affected my kids who are now adults when they were walking down the hall and you grabbed one of them and said something silly to them or said something wise to them or loved on them or challenged them or encouraged them. You're making a difference just by being here in other people's lives. You make us better. And we make each other better. All for the glory of God. We've invested a lot of resources in our online presence due to COVID and due to being able to reach people who can't be here. But we want to exhort you not to let that facilitate an unhealthy practice in your life. Not guilt, not legalism. Don't hear me say that. If you need to be home, then praise the Lord that you can worship the best you can from there. But it, just like everything else, if you're okay with it and you don't feel any strain, then you've probably gotten in a place where it's not healthy. There should be a strain to say, I got to get back. It's God's will for your life. And just like everything else in God's will, there is no better place than to be than right in the middle of God's will. And I just want you to know, I know how hard it is. I would not be as faithful if I were not your pastor. So I understand. So we see everyone being here, all in is important, both here, community groups, you get the idea. But we also, when practice comes along, I didn't just want all my players there. Like, okay, that's all I wanted. Go goof off. No, I want all in, and I want you to be all in when you're here. Colossians 3:23 through 34, I'm going to read sprinkled throughout here. Whatever you do, as Granger said, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ when you serve. When you come here and you sing, you are singing to the Lord Christ. So sing with all your might. I don't care if you can't sing. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Just sit further away from me. Serving the children, you are serving the Lord. When you shake a hand and smile at the front door, you are smiling and shaking the hand of the Lord Christ himself. When you're taking trash out, you are doing it for the Lord. This is the Lord's people. This is the Lord's body. This is the Lord's household. You are the Lord's priest. Everything you do here, you do for the Lord. When the Lord separated the seats, the goats and the sheep, and the goats were like, what happened? And he says, you never visited me in prison. When were you in prison? And the other one said, how did I get in? He says, well, thank you for visiting me in prison. When did I visit in your prison? He said, what you did for the least of these, you did it for me. Everything you do, you're doing it for the Lord. Do it with all you got. So what he's saying is, he's saying Jesus gave you everything he has. So when you serve, give everything you got because you are giving it to the Lord. Throughout the book of Colossians, Paul is pouring his heart out for the church. And you see the whole concept. He says, I want you to be knit together in love. And I want you to do that so you can help each other enjoy the riches of the full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is in Christ. This is what he's doing for us when we come together. I want you to know all that is hidden, the hidden treasures of the wisdom of God that is in Christ. I want all that I have for you. I want you to do it, all of you, all that you have. He says in each hidden person in Christ, chapter 3, verse 11, he says, here there is not Greek, there's not Jew, there's not circumcised, there's not uncircumcised, there's not barbarian, there's not Scythian, there's not slave or free, but Christ is in all and in all. He is everything here. So when you serve any person, you are serving Christ. So give it everything you have. As we serve one another, we are trying to stir up the word of Christ. He says in verse 16, he says, the word of Christ dwells in you richly. And so stir that up, teaching and admonishing one another. This is what we're trying to do when we come together. We're trying to stir up the word of Christ. We're teaching one another. We're admonishing one another with the words of Christ in all wisdom. We're singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in our heart. That's what we're doing here. We're stirring up the riches and the words of Christ in our hearts. And so he says, so whatever you do, verse 17, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive all the spiritual blessings of the heavenly places as your inheritance, as your reward. So I hope that I've encouraged you. It'd be easy to get up here on a soapbox and throw a bunch of rocks of guilt on you, and that would not sustain your energies. But instead, seeing what Christ has done for you and how magnificent his plan is for your life, and knowing that only this design will sustain you, I hope you find it worth it. Whether it's community group, whether it's serving, whether it's worshiping, there's a flow against you in your own heart and your own mind in this culture. And I just hope you hear one thing today. Christ is better. His people are better. Father God, I pray that you will work that into our hearts, that we will cherish our time together, that we will cherish our opportunity to serve one another. I pray that we will value this time so much that it energizes us to make it a priority. Not legalism, not guilt, but treasure this as so wonderful and so valuable that though there's a flow against it, I want to be here. And Lord, I pray that there are people here today who, if they need to trust you as Savior, experience that mercy. I pray that they will see the value is so glorious and so wonderful that though we as sinners deserve death, Christ died so that we don't have to. And he forgives us of our sin. He washes us and cleanses us so that we can be new creatures. And instead of being isolated and alone, we can be brought into a body, a people, a royal priesthood, a chosen race, a nation, a people for your own glory. What a great honor. What a great calling. What a great purpose. I pray that right now, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, that you would cry out to him in your heart and say, Lord, I want to know you as my Savior. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Say, Lord, I need a Savior, and I want to serve you all the days of my life, and I need a people. I pray you'll do that right now. I pray you'll come talk to me after the service. Lord, all this is for your glory. It's in Christ's name we pray.